In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. This is the fifth week we talk about the subject of power. And we talked about each letter and what it stands for. We spoke about P for prayer, O for obedience, W for worship, E for evangelism. And today we finish our series using the letter R for reading. And I really wonder many times about how we treat our readings and understanding of the Bible. And you notice that sports fans always read sport magazines. Politically minded people read political news magazines. Engineers and home improvement people will read house plans or blueprints. Doctors will read medical journals. But yet, there are millions of people in the world who claim to be Christians or believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they never ever pick up the Bible and read it. I just wonder about like how many of the love stories and romance that we know of, about couples who write love letters to each other all the time because they want to hear the flattering words of love from their spouse. And most of the time we forget that the Bible itself is God's love letter to all of us. If God's Holy Spirit lives in your heart, doesn't it make sense that there should be a hunger inside you to read His Word to help your relation to improve and grow stronger? Isn't that what we do in our relationships between husbands and wives and family and the children? If anyone at least leaves home for a while, you will be missing that person and be looking forward to hear His Word all the time. That should be the same for us if we really care that much about God and love Him so much, and we will be looking forward to hear His Word. I mentioned before about the creation of man, that he was created of dust, that's the human body, the physical body, and of the spirit, that was the breath of life from God. So if the body stays without food for a while, what happened to it? We feel sick and could die. Same for the spirit. You cannot let the spirit live without the real food for the spirit, which is the word of God himself, that could be and should always be number one from the Bible and then any spiritual books. So you cannot say that you don't have an appetite for physical food. If not, you will have to go through medical treatment, maybe some IV or feeding tubes or what have you. God forbid, we don't want to go that far, but we need the materialistic food. Same way for the spiritual food. You need the spiritual food. You need the Word of God. You need to read the Bible. And it's amazing that many times you hear excuses on why people don't read the Bible. They tell you, for example, I think the Bible is just a book written by a bunch of men, or it is very hard to understand, or I don't really think it is important to read the Bible as long as you live the Bible. So how would you live the Bible if you do not know it and if you do not read it? I just wonder. Or they tell you, I trust the Lord Jesus will take care of me and He saves me. He knows my heart. How can He know your heart if you don't have your heart with Him according to His commandments? You could have your heart with Him, as you say, but your way, that's not acceptable to God. So why is it so important that you read the Bible? Let me share with you 5 points. The first one, you ought to know that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. It is not just a book written by men. St. Peter in the second epistle in chapter 1 verse 21 says, "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." They were moved, they were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write what's written in the Bible. So we take all of it as the Word of God from the beginning to the end. We do not pick and choose. The word heresy, as I mentioned before, means pick and choose. We do not in the Bible. in the Bible, all of it as one unit is the Word of God. It should be read completely and understood according to God's commandment. Also, the Word of God will make everybody benefit in so many different ways. It's very profitable for all of us to read it. St. Paul said to his disciple Timothy, who was the bishop, he told him in the second epistle, in chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. If you wish to check on something that you did, if it is right or wrong, your only source, your only guide to know what's right or what's wrong is the Word of God. Open the Bible and read what God is telling you or instructing you to do. Number two, God's Word is eternal, meaning it has no beginning and no end. For example, we read in the book of John in chapter 1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, that's for us, timing for us, but for God it doesn't have any beginning and it doesn't have any end. It has been from everlasting to everlasting. So it will never pass away. Again, it continues in the book of Matthew in chapter 24, in verse 35, it says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. God's words will never ever change, will never finish, will never pass away, will always have a use in our heart all the time. Unless, of course, some people who close their hearts to understand God's word according to His way. Many times we can hear the scripture and we try to make the interpretation our way. That should not be it. It never should be or will be, because those who make their own interpretation make their own denominations and they start to split away from the church. However, the right and true church, the Orthodox Church, is the one that never changed. Whatever we received from the early church fathers in the first 5 centuries at the beginning of Christianity, that is our teaching. We did not change it and we will never change it. Number three, the Lord Jesus is God's Word. In the book of John, explain to us what happened about the Word of God that took flesh and became man. So if anybody asks you, what does it mean that God became man? You tell him this from John 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You have the answer. You have an answer to anyone who asks you a question, as St. Peter told us. You must be ready, equipped to answer all questions, all concerns, all doubts. What happens if your children come back from school and they have questions from their friends in school? You must get yourself ready to strengthen the fact and the faith of your children. Here is what it means, and here is what God told us and taught us to say. He also tells them that our Lord is the Lord of the Old Testament and the New Testament. For example, we read in the book of Luke in chapter 24, verse 44, when the Lord said to the two disciples of Emmaus, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, we know that our God is the God of the prophecies. He is the one who came to fulfill the prophecies, and He is the Lord. So when you believe in Him, you must know that He came to fulfill the hunger of the creation for the salvation of man. He came to die on the cross because He promised from day one when Adam and Eve committed the sin, when He slaughtered the animal and took their skin and covered Adam and Eve, to tell them the only way to cover your sin is through the shedding of blood And here is the example from now until you see it come to happen when I come and die on the cross for you. So we can tell with a strong faith your children the meaning of salvation, crucifixion, shedding of blood. The first point, the Lord Jesus promised to reveal Himself to us through His Word by sending us the Holy Spirit, by keeping us remembering His teaching. As it says in the book of John 14:26, He said, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." So the Holy Spirit will always lead us to know God, to glorify Him, to bless Him, to praise Him, and be in His church from the beginning to the end of our life, and the beginning to the end of the creation, and beginning from the end of humanity. In the book of John, chapter 16, verses 13 to 15, it says, "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore, I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you." He will glorify God through you, in what you do, in what you say, in what you eat, in what you drink, in what you dress. You are created in God's image and likeness. So from that teaching, you know that what you have in you, that you received in baptism, the Holy Spirit will always remind you of the glory of God. You glorify God in yourself, in your treatment with people, relationship and dealing with people at work, in school, anywhere that you go and see someone, when you speak and when you smile, when you bless the people around you, in the front of you, you show the true God in you. The fifth and the last point is, if we don't have the Bible, we would not have known the three pillars of faith. You heard the scripture today from the book of Matthew in chapter 6 that says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them, otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven." That's number one, the charitable deeds. Then continues and says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." That's number two, prayer. Number three, the Lord adds, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites, with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward." How would we know about charitable deeds, about prayer, and about fasting if the Bible did not tell us that you must observe those three things? How would we know? It is the Bible that taught us all of this. We must remember that we would not have been Christian if we don't have the Bible. That's why the church made it alright for those who do not attend the reading of the gospel, they should not take communion. It's not because we don't make it hard on people. It is because we want to make sure you remember the teaching of God that we received through the Bible. Without the Bible, we would not have been Christian. Without the Bible, we would not have known the services that we should make and how we serve it. For example, you heard the psalm today from Psalm 2 in verses 11 and 10. How we serve God, it says, "Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice in Him with trembling." How can we serve with fear and rejoice with trembling? Should we be afraid? No, it means with reverence, with respect, with love that has all the giving. What we call it, the agape love. Agape means sacrificial love, that you are not waiting for something back. For example, the service of food downstairs. This service was established by God Himself. When God fed the 5,000 and the 4,000, He fed them from little the people presented. 5 loaves and 2 fish for the 5,000. And the second time, he used 7 loaves and just little fish. He blessed all of this, the little the people give, to feed many, to make the social service. The disciples understood the service. They continued the service in the New Testament. If you read the book of Acts, they said to the congregation, it's not good for us to leave preaching the word of God and serve tables, meaning we were serving the food, the clergy were serving the food, but select for yourself good men filled with the Holy Spirit. So they selected the 7 deacons, the first of which was St. Stephen. The food service was served by holy men and continued until today. It's called the Arabi by the church in our homeland in Egypt and here. Called the Arabi, the service of love. That service cannot and should never ever stop. It is the service that God established, His disciples continues, and the deacons and the blessed and saint people are still doing. This will never stop and should never stop. How did we know that this service will never stop? The Bible taught us. The Bible told us through the Lord Himself, through His disciples, through the deacons, through the servants. We must continue the service that God has taught us, and it should never ever stop. You must read the Bible. You must know what the Lord is telling you to do. I really wonder and be amazed many times when I see non-Christian coming to Christianity, and when you ask them, how did you know? They tell us, we read the Bible. They read the Bible, they get to see God and understand the presence of God in every single word from the beginning to the end. So how about us, the believers, the Christians? How can we ignore a treasure that we have and we do not read? We have so much time to watch TV, to speak over the phone, and we get angry at each other and we go out and have coffee in Starbucks and all of that, which of course we do not mind. But when I find myself so busy at work and so busy in my fight with the family and so busy in watching TV and so busy in everything that I do, and in the few minutes that I'm supposed to dedicate to God, I do not give. So how about the charitable good deed that you are supposed to do? Where is your tithe of time, your 10%? Where is our 10% to God from your time? You have 24 hours a day, meaning 168 hours a week. Where is the 2.4 hours a day for God? Where is the 17th hour almost a week for God? Is it too much to spend time with God to read His word? When you pray, you speak to Him. So how would you hear His voice? Your only way to hear His voice is through the reading of the gospel. And glory be to God now and forever and ever. Amen.